Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Sing me a little jingle, Janice.
On the road again.
Ding, 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 ding. On the road again. Okay, now we're going to get sued for licensing. All right. The Maximize Your Life Tour is on. We are coming to a city near you for an evening of inspiration and information and entertainment. Come. Honestly, please come. It's an opportunity for us to have a direct connection and a dialogue. I want to show you everything that's going on behind the scenes on Biggest Loser. Yes, we're going to talk diet, and yes, we're going to talk fitness, but what we're really going to talk about is why you aren't activating on that information and why you might not be activating in other areas of your life. I want to help you blast through every obstacle and live the life that you dream and that you deserve. And you know I can do it because I've done it with hundreds of people on national television. Let me help you. Help me help you. Huh? Jerry Maguire. That's my best Jerry Maguire.
Yeah. And that's what I thought as soon as you said that.
And I can. Yeah. I can. I will give you that light bulb moment. I'm that good.
And we also wander your streets, too. Shopping. We buy things. We go into your stores.
We do. Yeah. So now we really need your $25.
You really can't
miss her. You got to go to... So go to www.jillianmichaelslive.com to buy tickets and get tour dates and find out what cities we're in. And I really do hope to see you there. All kidding aside.
Here we are. We're doing a podcast. Yeah. Jillian is right now...
making a bus shopping list.
Making a bus shopping list. Yeah. That's what we do. Just so we are in Pittsburgh...
Yeah, we are in Pittsburgh. Kind of a cool city.
Yeah, and we're on the 15th floor overlooking...
Yeah. An office building.
An office building.
Wow.
And
what glamour.
Yeah. No, we're living high. I shouldn't turn away. So what you're going to hear, this isn't the perfect sound. We're sitting at the desk in my room. And
this is how Janice has lured me into her room, everybody. This is how she did it.
That's it.
So don't worry, I'm on guard.
That's right.
Because we all know what her real agenda is.
That's right, because I love Jillian.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, all show aside, seriously, did I get everything you wanted on this list? Everything bagels.
Poo juice.
Poo juice. Yeah. Are you sure she knows what brand of poo juice? I think it's the Surya brand, right?
I'm not sure.
Organic. I got fruits, vegetables. What else? Anything else?
Cinnamon raisin toast.
Oh, that's
organic.
Right. You like that toast, okay?
And, we need new oatmeal.
Plain?
Flax. Flax
oatmeal.
Oatmeal. That's
okay.
good for me. And some, what are we getting? Coconut milk?
Oh, yeah. Coconut milk. Yep. Oh, do we have a show to do? See, here's the thing. We do have a show to do, but I also need to make sure that, you know, this girl likes her food. I like my food.
Right. So because sometimes we miss the dinner call. Well, Jillian misses it because she's performing. And so she has to make a snack on the bus.
That's true. All right, there we go. I feel like there's so much we could talk about because it's been such a long time. I'm not even sure where to begin. We almost died in a bus accident.
This is true.
But we didn't. Nobody was hurt, but we could have.
Yeah, it was pretty, you know, in hindsight.
We got lucky.
We were very lucky.
You know, it's so funny because we talk about perspective, right? Like a wild turkey. An enormous bird. This thing was freaking enormous. I mean, like Thanksgiving for everybody kind of a thing. Flew through the window of our tour bus. And if it had been just a few inches over to one side, it would have killed our poor little driver, quite literally, because we were going 70.
Yeah.
This thing shot all the way through the window, and it kind of hit this weird metal divider between both windshields, which sort of broke its velocity, I guess, so to speak. Flew into the window. He slams on the brakes. I, of course, felt the bus come screeching to a halt, felt the speed bumps, and I was like, all right, are we dying here? Yes or no? And then when we didn't die, I was like, oh, and just went back to bed.
Yeah, Jillian.
I was like, I'm exhausted.
She was exhausted.
I waited for us to die. When the bus actually stopped, I was like, oh, well, something happened, but I don't know what it is. I'm sure they'll tell me. I need sleep. And went back to bed. But after I got up and there was glass everywhere and feathers everywhere and all this stuff, I realized that our poor, sweet little driver, Paul, would have been killed had that bird been a few inches over. And yet my previous inclination, because it ended up being a huge pain for everybody and we had to like switch, get the kids up in the middle of the night, all this garbage. And, you know, the old me would have been like, can you believe my luck? Had it just hit the metal part of the bus.
Right.
Instead of the window, we would have kept on going because it was a huge ordeal for everybody because, you know, our home is the bus. So ultimately, though, I'm proud of myself because I think that I'm starting to look at the world with a little more perspective. And I realize, hey, we're so lucky that it didn't kill our driver, our poor little driver, seriously injure him. And God knows what if he had been injured, the bus would have ran off the side of the frickin' road. So,
or into the median.
Yeah,
or into the
median.
Middle of the road, yeah.
And, you know, you hear about these things on tour buses all the time, and you always think, well, you know, whatever. Just like you hear about accidents in life, and things do happen, but talk about perspective. This is, I'm looking for the silver lining in everything these days.
Yeah, and Paul, our driver, you know, we've had, you know, you get to know your driver kind of becomes...
Driver's your buddy.
Yeah, your buddy, your daddy in a way. Like, he really...
What the hell?
Well, you know, your daddy.
You?
No, I don't mean daddy isn't... Like,
you are sick.
No, but I mean...
You're sick and disturbed.
You looked at him as... You feel safe with him. And we had just had the conversation,
which is
so bizarre, that night... The night before the incident,
this
kind of going into the incident early in the, you know, in the wee hours, about, you know, there's a reason why I was stopped at that stoplight. We've had these.
Yeah.
There's a reason why I stopped that stoplight because if I hadn't been waiting there, there was an accident, you know, such and such down the road. Now, in hindsight,
there
was a turkey, but
but
it could have been.
Yeah.
What could have been. And that always kind of puts me back in my shoes when I go, okay. It happened, but it could have been this.
I think it's really interesting, though, to look at life and just say, hey, you know, when these little things happen that are inconveniences or that feel unfortunate or unfair, you have no idea how they're going to play out in the grand scheme of things. And we had just been having that talk about how our driver was talking about him having a fuse blow on a bus trip and how his other passengers from a previous tour had been so frustrated and so angry. And it ended up that had that bus not had to stop where it had stopped, one of the band members could have died. It's kind of a long story. But then this happened to us that same night. And I guess I bring it up because it's not of tremendous relevance other than being kind of funny and bizarre because who knew turkeys could fly?
That was Jillian's first thing. She goes, Who the hell knew a turkey flies?
I mean, just from an aerodynamic perspective, who takes a 40-pound creature? Thing's enormous. But anyway.
And bless its soul.
Yeah.
Bless its little soul.
I think also, you know what else is kind of interesting is that that would have ruined me, seeing that poor bird. I would have never gotten over that. And after having coming back from India, which is something that we haven't been able to talk about, it didn't affect me in the way that it would have affected me. And had my business partner, Giancarlo, not have been with us and had dealt with it so the kids didn't have to see it, and I could have dealt with it. I could have now dealt with it. And that's something I want to talk about in our next segment. Because I know people have been wanting to hear about India, but in all truthfulness, guys, the reality is I went to India, back in early Feb, right?
February.
And we did, you know, I was away for 3 weeks, and then I had to go to Canada to do Body Shred for a week, and now we've been on the road for a couple of weeks, and we got most of our podcasts done in ahead of time. So we're just jumping in now with this, and I haven't had a chance to really address any of that or anything that's gone on during the tour. So I'm just trying to figure out which one of the lessons I thought I would discuss. So we're going to sift through them, and we'll be right back.
Okay, guys, Audible time. You know already, if you listen to our show, that they are the leading provider of spoken audio information, books, entertainment, anything you want. You can get it at Audible. They've got over 100,000 book titles in every genre. You will find what you're looking for. Next on my reading list, The Book Thief. So that's on my reading list. That's coming up next. But for our listeners, you can get it for free. Huh? How about that? All you got to do is sign up at www.audiblepodcast.com/exercise, and they'll give you a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial just by signing up. audiblepodcast.com/exercise. That's www.audiblepodcast.com/exercise.
All right. So you don't even want to know about this stuff.
No, it's not that I don't. It's not that I don't want to know. It's just I know you've had some significant things happen, because I can tell any time we bring up India, you get a very something changes in your body and your face. So I know that things happen there to you, at you, that were not as, let's just say, you aren't kicking your heels up in the air.
You know, Janice, here's the thing. I'm going to be brutally honest, and I'm going to do my best to try to make this not sound overly dramatic or to allow it to be misinterpreted. But in all honesty, from the bottom of my heart, I saw hell. I saw it. I saw people living through hell. Not me. I saw it. It was as though I took a tour through hell. And I didn't personally have to go through it, which is even a stranger feeling, because then you have survivor's guilt. But I saw suffering like I have never seen. And I am a person, you know me, I have been all over the world. And I am a person that likes to go to the third world and see, like, okay, what can be done here? How can we get involved? You know, obviously, as you know, I've been to Haiti multiple times. My daughter's Haitian. I've been to Africa. I've seen a lot. I've been to South America. This rocked me in a way that is difficult to put into words. And I have always thought, right? I've always had this message of empowerment. And it's like, I'm not sympathetic, because where there's a will, there's a way. You know, at the end of the day, as a human being, we have the ability to change things and make a difference and blah, blah, blah. And while, yes, we do, the reality is that in certain parts of the world, you will pay with your life should you choose to buck the system. And when I say I've seen people in hell there, I mean relegated to an existence that would seem almost insurmountable to overcome. And I would imagine you'd have to flee the country, of course. And I don't know how feasible that is for many.
Right. Like,
this is a country of 1.2 billion. Now, mind you, I saw such beauty and such love and such incredible acts of kindness. But the kind of stuff I'm talking about is... I'm talking about 90% of the marriages in that country are arranged.
Right.
Right. And that means, you know, your parents decide who you're going to marry. A woman still has a dowry. And she and the boy, the marriages are arranged through either a temple or a village or what have you. They run ads called the matrimonials in the paper. They sift through hundreds of applicants. It gets narrowed down. The kids get to meet for a few minutes and they're married for the rest of their lives. And of course, you know, a lot of the guides that we had were like, oh no, this really works for us. And then you end up hearing stories about people who committed suicide because it didn't work, and women who didn't want to get married and ended up getting gang raped by 12 men at the elder's, instruction to teach her a lesson. And I just thought, oh my God, you know, and that is the tip of the iceberg. There's a caste system there, that essentially means it's a hierarchy of individuals, right? And there's like the rich people, and then there's the soldiers, and then there's the merchants and the holy people, and anyway, the unskilled workers. And at the bottom of this caste system are a group of individuals called the untouchables. And apparently, you know, you were a bad person in a past life, and so this is your...
Who judges that you were a bad...
Your karma. Oh. You created this mess for yourself. So, you know, here you are. They literally will not touch you. The only jobs untouchables can get are things like burning the bodies on the Ganges, sifting through garbage. The untouchable kids weren't allowed to go to school for a very long time. It's tough to get a straight story, by the way, because no one wants to tell you. You know, you have to end up watching documentaries and trying to read about it. And it's tough to get the truth, because it's the underbelly of the whole thing is so sad. It's just, and so you're born as an untouchable. And there's a book that I just bought, and it's called Untouchables, and it says My Family's Escape from the Indian Caste System. I haven't read it yet, but I was, and basically they say, like, listen, you know, your karma dictates that you know, this is your life in this life, and you better not, you know, don't buck the system, don't be difficult, or next life you get to come back as an untouchable again. The thing with India that I found so hard to tolerate, there is suffering like you have never seen. Suffering that's just beyond words, without having to get too deep into it. I have never seen suffering like this in my life, Janice. Never. I mean, it's beyond like I'm hungry, we're at war. It is far deeper than that. There is a suffering and a loneliness for those that suffer, and the ones that are cast out of society because they were raped or they were this or they were that. And I don't want to delve too much into it, and I'm still sorting out kind of what to do with it, and I don't want to bring everyone down with this. But what I realized is what a fool I had been to believe that, hey, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. Because in certain countries, there is not. You might be able to become a Gandhi, who, by the way, was upper class in India, or a Martin Luther King. But let's not forget, both of these men were assassinated. And you might be able to do such things, but you will pay. And unless you can accept sort of that path, which most people are like, you know, I'd rather not be killed or what have you. And so I think where I want to go with this is that I realize our country is imperfect, of course. You know, you're Canadian, but we're both from the Western world. And both of our countries are not perfect. You know, we have our problems and our issues with our politicians and corruption and so on. But what we have is an opportunity to question the rules and to change things without jail or torture or prison or, you know, God knows what. Prison and jail, the same thing. My point is, without horrible, awful consequences happening to us. And so, remember we had Danai Gurira on the show from The Walking Dead, and she talked about how women like her all over the world, women that look just like her. You know, she's African. She's,
oh, yes.
Right?
Yes,
yes, how they'll never have an opportunity to do the things they want to do, and how she's had no issue following her dreams because she feels it's her responsibility to take the opportunity she's given to follow her dreams. So really what I want to say to everyone listening who might have issues or guilt with regard to pursuing their passion or, quote, being selfish or putting themselves first is that this is a gift. So few human beings on this planet actually have this gift of freedom. Mm. And I'm not trying to be this crazy patriot. I'm really not. This is not like God bless America and God bless our troops, which is the politically correct thing to say. I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart, I have seen the gift that we have living here. And to not exploit this gift is a crime. Mm-hmm. It's a crime against humanity. And I came home from here, and it's very interesting because people who didn't go with me, or as I was kind of trying to explain it, you know, and which is almost impossible to explain. You have to go. But as I was trying to explain, you know, what I'd seen and the things people are dealing with and the struggles that they're having, everyone was like, aren't we lucky to be Americans? God, you know, I'm so fortunate. I'm so grateful. And there's something about that that didn't work for me. Because it said like, woo, thank God it's you and not me. Lucky me. Thanks, God. And I was like, ugh. It just made me sick to my stomach.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, 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 no. That's not how I feel about it. I feel like we are lucky. But with this luck, we don't get to sit on our laurels and go, whew, dodge that bullet. Didn't come back as an untouchable in the Indian caste system. I think to whom much is given, much is required, which is something we've talked about a lot on the show. And I want you to appreciate what you've been given as an American citizen. And when I say much is required, it means you need to do something with this opportunity.
Right.
And in doing something with it, you subsequently will make the world a better place, even if it's pursuing your own happiness, because I don't like to push people to be philanthropic if they aren't solid, you know?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, no, 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 no. First, you need to be financially stable, and first, your health needs to be good, and you need to have a modicum of happiness. And then from a really solid foundation, if you want to be philanthropic and you want to go out there and make a difference, please, by all means. But your number one job right now and the greatest contribution you can make is to the planet. By being the best you, right? From that point on, when you're like, wow, I'm all good, yes, then we can start, you know, cruising along in our rowboat and throwing out life preservers. But you can't save people if you're drowning in the ocean. We all know that.
Yeah.
So stop, get yourself, you know, out of the ocean, onto a boat, a lifeboat. I'm not being very articulate right now, but make sure you're okay. Then you can help people. But I think
Exactly. Yeah. It's like the people that all of a sudden, well, it's in a simple way, they lose weight and all of a sudden they want to help people right away.
Yes.
It's like,
they haven't even lost weight and they say, I want to motivate my patients.
Right.
I want to motivate the kids in my class. And I'm like, why don't you work on you?
Right. So getting you right with the world first. You're absolutely right.
You have to. Yeah. That's first. Then when you're good, we can expand out from that and start helping other people. But I think it's not to sit back and go, phew, I'm so lucky. It's saying, all right, I've been given this opportunity and I have an obligation to do something with it. And for me, I have been lucky for such a long time that, you know, I'm fairly stable. My health is good. My family is good. I'm financially okay. And now it becomes my responsibility to try to spread around some of that abundance in the world. And I think that is the next step. And it's not even about writing checks. Because I've written checks before, and it's like, hey, is this a 501c tax write-off? Oh, super. You know, don't I look like a nice person? Oh, I can feel so good about myself that I've tithed. I've given a certain percentage of my income, and whoa, it's tax deductible. And isn't that awesome? But I realize now this next chapter in my life is definitely going to be one about not all money's great, and that's good, and you can do a lot in the world with money, but more about finding the actual time and getting personally involved, getting my kids personally involved, and doing things that are hard, doing things that are extremely, extremely hard, because there's always that's where you'll reap the most reward. And so maybe I'll talk about that lesson next.
So we'll take a little breather, grab a little more coffee, and we'll be right back.
What if I told you guys that starting at only $19.95 a month, you could have a wholesome, nutritionist-approved snack box sent straight to your door? That's less than a buck a day, okay? And guess what? You can. And that is where NatureBox.com comes in. NatureBox.com is a subscription-based service. They offer delicious and nutritious snack delivery on a monthly basis. So no matter what your dietary needs are, these guys have you covered. If you're vegan, if you're gluten-free, if you want non-GMO, you name it, they can handle it for you. Their products are made from wholesome ingredients and they abide by strict quality standards. They are Jillion approved. That means no high fructose corn syrup, no partially hydrogenated oils, no trans fats, no artificial sweeteners, no artificial colors, etc. They've got three boxes and three different price points, so there's options to fit everyone's needs and everyone's budget. Whether you're at home, whether you're going to the office, or if you're just on the go, these are snacks you can feel great about. And at any point, if you want to, you can pause your subscription or even cancel it. So what are you guys waiting for? For our listeners, NatureBox.com is going to offer 50% off your first month's box in any size. All you have to do is go to NatureBox.com/Jillion and get started today. It's that easy. All lowercase, NatureBox.com/Jillian. So check it out. It is awesome.
Right, so we're back, still in the hotel room.
I know, yeah,
still in the hotel room.
Jeez.
So I know you're. I know there's things that you still want to get out. Like I know there's many stories you want to get
there's
out.
There's many stories. Yeah. I mean, I debated. Like, the problem is, it's not a particularly. Obviously, this is not going to be the funniest podcast in the world. But there were so many things that I learned, and I remember the whole time thinking, God, I wish we were doing a podcast right now so I could share the lesson.
Yeah.
And there were a couple that were really significant. And I went there, right? And I was looking for God, so to speak. Like, in the way...
Which many do.
Yeah.
They go to India to, you know, everybody saw Eat, Pray, Love. You know, I'm going to
yes.
go there, you know.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. And I thought that it would shift my perspective in the way that like Haiti did or Africa did, where you're so inspired by the way of life and the joy and the love and the people against all odds. And don't get me wrong, Indians have a tremendous amount of love and a tremendous amount of joy to give, but it wasn't the kind of thing where I went to the country and was like, wow, and found God outside of myself.
I'm going to interrupt you for a second because I said that to you. I said, it was the night that we were on the crew bus, and Jillian and I and Bonsai had to catch a ride with the crew.
The
bus! Because our bus was in repair. And I said to Jillian, I said, don't people just go there to kind of, you know, find them? And you said, yes, they do, but you find your, how did you say it? She said it so well, and I probably just interrupted you were going to say it, but
no.
You find yourself in a different way.
Yeah.
You said you find yourself through going way deep inside to places that you don't realize that you really want to touch.
Yeah.
And it's not like, I found God on a mountaintop.
No, it's right.
It's not like that.
It's nothing like
that's
that.
That's my perception
yeah.
of going to India
it
to find
it. It was mine too, Janice, until I got there. And I realized some of my friends, they were like, I see hell, I see evil. And I was like, I see hell, I see evil. But here's the thing. In America, we have similar hell, right? Children get abused, animals get abused. In the Western world, we have all those things. We just hide them really well. We, you know, all the abused animals go to the pound. No one ever sees them. They're not just walking around the road starving and dying, which is what you see in India. You know, all the abused children quietly suffer. No one ever knows they're being molested or raped because they're not out on the streets being forced into begging rings and prostitution, and it's just part of the way of life. Like in India, it's like, well, you know, this is what happens. And, the children are sold into prostitution on the black market, or they're sold into the flesh trade in Saudi Arabia, or, you know, they're kidnapped and taken by the mafia into begging rings. And it's like, and you're aghast. And, no one there, they know it's wrong, but it's what they deal with every day.
Right.
And what rocks your head so much is that we're so used to shoving it all under the rug. And even perpetrators of these crimes know that in public you go, oh, my God, that's terrible. You know,
yes.
Right? It's like, and so it F's with your head. And you don't find God, I realize, outside of yourself. There's nothing that's going to, and someone said something to me, they're like, you know, when you're searching for something, you're running from something. And I realized on that trip that the God had to come from within me, that I literally had to find God in myself. And something that Gandhi had said when they were trying to kick the Brits out of India, because he was nonviolent, which, you know, I who am I to judge, you know, some great man, but Nelson Mandela was a freedom fighter.
Yes.
And while there was Martin Luther King, there was also Malcolm X. So Gandhi, the way that he got the British out, it took him years and years, obviously, and he did 6 years in prison, I believe, and, you know, suffered tremendously at their hands. But he said, we're not cooperating. We're not going to cooperate with this. And he got the Indians to only do business with other Indians and not pay taxes and all of this stuff to make the Brits miserable. And there was something about the concept of non-cooperation that I loved. And, you know, I'm a person who, if I can't fix the problem, I don't want to hear about it. I can't stand to feel helpless. I can't stand to feel out of control. It triggers those feelings in me to see suffering. And I'm just like, I don't want to know. I don't watch the news. I don't want to know. And in India, you can't do that. There is no burying your head in the sand. There is no pretending it doesn't exist. There is no I don't want to know, because it's all there and it's in your face constantly. And you realize that in doing such a thing, you're turning a blind eye. You're giving up the responsibility that you have to make a difference where you can. And I appreciated very much that there were so many things that were out of my control. And there were so many things that I couldn't affect or change. But where I could make a contribution to better something or someone, I did. Whether it was taking food from the hotel every single day for the kids and the dogs, or it was, you name it. We did what we, you know, going and playing patty cake with autistic people at Mother Teresa's Missionaries of Hope, right? And so I knew, hey, you know, these biscuits I'm giving this dog is not going to save this dog's life. But maybe in this moment it provided, I'm going to be hysterical crying. Oh, Janice, it was so awful, dude. It was horribly hard. But it was like, maybe in this moment you could provide some peace, you know, to this person or animal that was just in so much pain. And knowing couldn't stop what was coming. And that's something that I wish every day we could try to do, is like make a contribution where you can to help somebody, because I think God has given us the ability to ease our own suffering and the suffering of others. While suffering is a part of life, it should not be a permanent state of existence. And then at the same time, by not cooperating with the things that you believe are wrong, but you can't change. So, you know, I came home with this renewed commitment of, like, I will not eat factory farmed meat. I will not do it. And it used to be the kind of thing where I was like, look, most of the time it's like organic, grass fed, whatever. But if I'm out and I have chicken or, you know, this or that, like, it's not the end of the world. Now I'm like, I will not do this. I'm in a position where I can afford not to.
Right.
And so with that comes my responsibility.
Yeah.
Or subsequently, you know, where if there's something that I cannot change on our planet, I won't contribute to it. So I just won't cooperate with the system. Doesn't mean I can overthrow it, but I simply won't cooperate with it. And it brings me back to what Gandhi said, which was, hey, you know, be the change you want to see in the world.
Yeah.
You can't change the world, But you can be that change and you can make that difference. And that is all we can do, but that is what we should do. And so I guess if there were, you know, to bring it back to the two lessons I learned, God is not outside of you. God is inside of you. And so when you go to India to find yourself, you have to go inside, and that's what you find. And you see the ugliest, most horrible things about yourself. But if you're willing to look and you're willing to take responsibility for them, there is a healing and a growth there. And while we can't fix everything, we can, just even the smallest things, you never know how they might make a difference or provide somebody with a moment of peace at a time where they so need it. And subsequently, we don't have to be a part of, even though we can't overthrow the government or turn these things around, we don't have to contribute to them. We can have our own little silent revolution by simply saying, I will not participate in this. I won't be a party to these things. And that's kind of what I came home with, is a very middle of the road approach to life, where it's not going to be black and it's not going to be white. I'm not going to be a hero, and I'm not going to be, you know, completely sort of, oh, well, screw it, I throw on the towel. I'm going to take care of me. It's like, I'm going to do everything I can do and then accept the human condition that I am not God. Does that make any sense?
Yes. Very much so. Very much. I know that you are incredibly moved by things, and I know they're hard for you to talk about, and I know that, you know, and I've seen you on stage, you know, when people are asking you questions, and you go to this place, and you know what, there's something I was going to bring up as a topic.
It
seems to make sense. It said, don't miss out on a blessing because it isn't packaged the way you expect.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I just thought, that's what you're talking about right now. Like,
yeah,
you've been blessed with something. You may not know exactly what it is, but it didn't come in the package you expected. It didn't come.
No.
But you've changed. No. It changed. This trip shifted you.
Oh, God.
And that, to me, you can't buy that.
No, you can't. I mean, if people are like, did you find what you were looking for? And I was like, yes. Just not how I
anticipated
I would find it.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't at all what I anticipated. The journey wasn't what I thought it would be, but I did get what I was looking for. And then it's a matter of coming home and trying to sort of stay in that place of like, no, you know, I said I wasn't going to do this and I'm not. I said I was going to be better here and I'm, you know, you ride the line. It's very easy to come home and get comfortable and fall back into your old ways.
I bet. Yeah.
But so far, you know, I did do one thing. In the entire time I've been home, I did have ribs in Memphis. But they were, I don't know, they were pork ribs. I know. And I felt terrible.
Oh, my God. Look, I know.
Terrible. Because then I was like, oh, Jillian, you know. But it's, other than that, I've been pretty good about really trying to sort of, I've just made this conscious effort to say, I'm not going to contribute to the suffering in the world. And people, animals, you name it, like, I'm trying not to contribute to it. So, you know, I'm not perfect. I'm very imperfect, but I'm trying.
Oh, mama. It just feels so odd now to go, and now let's do some, you know, like maybe today this is our podcast today.
Yeah.
I find it really awkward to kind of shift gears into, because that was...
You know, well, do we need to do, where are we at time-wise? Do we have another segment? Want to hear something worse?
You know what? I think for between this and I think our listeners would be, I think we're good.
Are you done? You've had enough of
this?
No, okay.
But I think what we'll do is we will, as you know, we did try to record some podcasts, you know, before Jillian went away. So we're going to kind of pepper the next few weeks with a tour podcast, and then we'll do a recorded one. But we'll do another one. We promise you, we'll do another one. Maybe when we get a little bit further down the road.
Okay.
And we'll.
Janice is like, we can't handle the next story. Let me tell you cannot. Yeah, I'll tell you. Yeah.
No. All right,
this is good for today. Yeah,
all right. Well, I will end with one from Cecil Clydesdale says, and he never came up. Oh. Why do you look so fierce on your DVD covers? Oh. Why is your face so fierce?
Is it so fierce? We always talk about trying to be more inviting.
Cecil?
Yeah, Cecil. We try to be more inviting.
Where was Cecil? I think this
in
was
fact,
from
they'll
breakfast.
Look at it and go, well, that's a way more approachable look on your face. You know, I think also, you know, with my DVDs, we're doing a beginner DVD, which I talked about, which won't be out until fall.
That's right, because the church ladies, we had
the church ladies asked me about it, and I was like, we're doing it because I haven't done a beginner DVD, and again, it's just for beginners. The people who've been using my other DVDs, they've got plenty to choose from. And the idea here was, how do we sort of start somebody out and build a baseline of fitness so they're not so intimidated? And so we're not sure if I'm going to call it Beginner Shred or Ripped 101. Maybe you guys can sort of weigh in on that. But that's the idea. And so the idea of the fitness DVDs, though, is for the most part to say, hey, it's a challenge. You know, are you up for the challenge? And to kind of invite them to take the challenge. And you're not supposed to be perfect at it. You're supposed to try it and struggle with it, but stick with it and then see progress and improvement, which is the goal of life, you know, not just obviously my fitness DVD. and it's funny because we try to give, like, they should all have, like, a little smirk that says, like, I dare you, but not F off and die.
Well, Cecil. Yeah. Cecil thinks you look a little fierce. So maybe on the beginner one, either it's Ripped 101 or Shred 101.
Yeah.
Maybe it will, maybe you'll have to have a big smiley face.
Smiley face. That says,
Cecil, it's okay, dude. You can do it.
That's what I was thinking. Okay. I know. Non-threatening.
This is for you, Cecil.
Big smile.
Okay.
Cheesy grin.
Okay, guys. We will talk to you real soon.
Okay, yeah.
And, yeah.
Next podcast, horrible, depressing story.
That's right. No.
Coming up.
No,
Jillian Michaels Show.
The Jillian Michaels Show.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.